On today's episode of Coins and Convos, we are talking about Clever's big win of securing an IMTO license, and we speak about what it means for the fintech space.
Plus, we're unpacking the Zap vs. Zap Africa drama and breaking down the IP angles behind the name clash.
And we take a moment to honor TJ, lead co-founder of Bumper.
We're spotlighting what the app is doing for businesses across Africa.
It's insights, energy, and real conversations.
Let's get into it.
What's good, hustlers and dreamers? Welcome to the Coins and Convos podcast, the show where startup drama meets real talk.
I'm Books, here to spill the tea on who got funded and what businesses are making big moves.
And I'm Ella, your go-to for the behind-the-scenes scoop into the startup world.
So buckle up, folks.
Grab your coffee, your water, your juice, or whatever it is you drink.
Settle in and let's get into Coins and Convos.
Ready to roll?
Plug in.
Hello guys, welcome to another episode of the Coins and Convos podcast. There's a lot that's been going on in space. There's some drama, there's a bit of tragedy, but you know, we're looking forward to, you know, sharing those with you. Books, how's your week been? What's it been like? I know mine has been a lot, so you know, what's your week been like? Your work week?
I mean, my week was It's been all right. But I'm grateful that, you know, we're able to close out some major license applications for a few clients. And it always feels good getting those approvals across the line. It's just like, yeah, fine. We are done. On to the next. So, I mean, that was like the highlight of my week. So I also reviewed a couple of agreements. Nothing too crazy. But just enough to remind me why I don't like reading books.
You keep saying you don't like reading books. You read books every day.
I can't get away with it. I mean, anyways, so that was there. Also, few data protection audits to wrap up on this week. I think I did like three of them. So yeah, done with that part. And you know, on the side, I'm also like a fellow in African Fellowship. So I don't know how I got myself into all this. I'm just trying to take it one step at a time now. So we had a bit of mentorship sessions. We had deep dives. And we're talking about AI and IP issues. Really interesting conversation there. Also closed out on a group paper that we're supposed to work on. It was about harmonizing regulatory frameworks across Africa to, you know, try and drive digital transformation, right, without killing innovation in some way. So I'm super proud of that one. Also, I have like an internship I'm doing on the side on AI governance, but we do a bit more of the technical side of AI. So yeah, that's pretty much how my week went. But how was your week? You didn't call me throughout this week, so I'm guessing it was really hectic.
Well, yeah, that was it. A lot of people, like a lot of clients needed a lot of things immediately. Right, we closed out on a Series C financing last week. And honestly, that deal was a deal that dragged on for a long time. It was one of those deals like, okay, you want it to be over with now. But you know, I was really excited, you know, when we closed. It was great. Yeah. And you know, this week we're looking forward to.
Can you imagine the frustration? We'd expect the transaction to close out in like a month, and then it's taking months. I mean, interesting week that you had. Really crazy, but exciting that at least you were able to close out the transaction. On to the gist that happened in this space this week. I just saw major headlines that Clever acquired, secured their IMTO license, and I'm like,
yeah, I saw that too.
And because I do a lot of license acquisition, I know the pain and stress that comes with getting this approval. I mean, and also because, you know, last year when the new revised guidelines came out, there were talks around fintechs being banned from getting the license.
And I guess that's where most of the confusion is coming from, because there are people that had the licenses before. How would those licenses be treated now? And, you know, we're expecting that after the revised guidelines, we're not expecting any fintechs to get any licenses. So, you know, how is this being treated? Are we defining fintech, or is this CBN defining fintechs, you know, differently from what we know fintechs to be?
Maybe that's where the loophole is or something. And something, you know, from the beginning when the whole bands were going on, I'm like, this is going to affect innovation in the long term. But anyways, I mean, it's good to see that this is happening. So to break it down to people that understand, IMTO means International Money Transfer Operator License. And yeah. Means that Clever can now legally process inbound international money transfers into Nigeria. So for instance, payment from the US, UK can go straight into a Nigerian bank or wallet via Clever's platform.
Mm-hmm. And
they don't need a third-party service now to, you know, carry out these transactions. Basically, there's no middleman. It's just Clever and Clever handling and stuff. What we had seen in previous times is that TX will partner with, you know, other entities that have this license, and there's always a middleman in between the transactions. But now it means that Clever can handle their stuff on their own. So why does this matter in this space now? It's better because we do not have to, Clever doesn't have to leverage on partnerships anymore to handle cross-border transfers and all of that. Big ups to Clever for this.
You know, something also exciting that I saw in the space this week was, you know, this Zap versus Zap. I don't know if anybody has seen
Zap
it.
Versus the, Zap.
Yes. The Paystack versus, you know, the...
Yeah. Zap Africa.
So for context, so there is a crypto-focused startup called Zap Africa, and they've been in the crypto space for a bit. They... Essentially, what their business is you can swap your crypto for Naira, bottom line, right? And then there's Paystack that's just issued, like, they just announced their product, Zap.
It made real headlines.
Yeah, it did. And it's supposed to be just like a quick, you know, transfer tool that people can use. And everybody was pretty excited, except the founder. Of Zap Africa, you know, going on Twitter, I honestly must comment, he was really quick with his responses. His tweets came out almost immediately,
his tweet came out, there must have been underlying issues that were discussed between them, because when the story then came out, it's like, oh, there had been a cease and desist letter going back and forth between the parties. So,
but the cease and desist came after this, though.
Oh, really?
So they both sent cease and desist letter to each other, which I thought was hilarious, because usually you see one sends a cease and desist and the other responds. But they are both... And the information available is really just like them reporting whatever the other person is saying. So Paystack is essentially saying that, you know, they have their trademark on lockdown in the relevant classes, by the way. So let me just backtrack. Essentially, the buzz around this has been that, you know, Zap Africa hasn't trademarked their product in the right class. So, right, what do I mean by class? There are 45 different trademark classes that most countries of the world have agreed that these are the agreed classifications of goods and services that people can trademark their products or their services under, right? And it's different based on, you know, if you're doing financial services, if you're doing beauty, if you're producing beauty products, different classes for different things, right? And what they're saying is that Zap Africa had the trademark protected in class 35, which mostly covers like advertising, marketing services. And this is the wrong class. You're supposed to protect in class 36, which covers financial services. But yeah, so that was the buzz that was going around. Then we're hearing in another news outlet that the CEO of Zap Africa is saying, oh, you know, we're disputing any allegations that we didn't register in the correct class. They're also saying that they don't have any information, that they've done their research and they don't see Paystack, you know, they don't see that Paystack has registered in any classes, registered Zap Africa.
I mean, correct me if I'm wrong also, I see a part in the news where they say that Paystack actually registered under different classes.
Yeah.
Just to cover every
base. And, you know, with the privilege of how trademarks work in Nigeria, I would say that that's the best technique. Because in other countries, you need to show like proof of use in that particular class for you to trademark. But in Nigeria, you can trademark before you commence your operations.
Interesting.
That's really like the benefit. So I see them, you know, protecting in all those classes as being really, really, you know, they were really prepared before they did it. But then there's still the issue of none of them, like, we haven't seen any of their trademark certificates. Obviously, I don't think they're going to put their certificates online. But you know, the existence of a trademark certificate, which is the evidence of protection, is not available online. We don't know what's going on behind closed doors. But if neither of them have a certificate, no matter what stage you are, as long as you've not passed the publication stage where people can, you know, put in objections to your registration, you don't have a trademark yet. So the thing with this is, because it's so public and now the brows of both parties are raised, if any of their trademarks are published, the other is opposing. You know, so how it works is there's going to be like a 28 days. I'm not sure, I need to confirm the timeline, but there's a period where you publish your trademark and the public can come in and object to the registration, right? And now that's just, you know, it's just expected that the other is going to object, and then there's going to have to be like a resolution of some sort. I would say that even though it appears that, you know, Paystack has done a lot of protections, I still think that it goes beyond just protecting the trademark. If you have, like, there's proof of clientele, there's proof of presence in the space before them, you know. And there's also the common law protection of passing off, essentially, that still protects them.
But so I mean, how would Zap rely now on passing off? And hear me correctly, right? Because Paystack has like a bigger name in the space, even though it's not that, right? But it's still, they're still like affiliated. So how would Zap Africa now, I know that they've been in the space for a while, but in terms of popularity, we see that Paystack is, some sense, it's, you know, more popular than Zap Africa.
Paystack is more popular. That's a more popular business, not Zap by Paystack. I don't know if you get what I mean.
Because of the affiliations that they have now, I mean, does that not mean that in some sense it's still Paystack? Everybody knows that it's still related. I don't know. I really want to see how this play out, really.
So with the trademark, what is in question is the brand name, which is Zap Africa. Mm-hmm. And that's why I say it's not a clear-cut case where you can say, oh, because they have it registered. If Paystack has it registered, they have the rights. There's no there's no disputing. Do you understand? If they have the certificates, but the existence of those certificates is still not it's still not a fact. We don't know that they have those certificates, right? And because what is being protected is the brand Zap, right? Mm-hmm. Just because you've added a more prominent name behind the word Zap, like Zap by Paystack, it doesn't stop the fact that if someone else has been in the space and has, you know, grown significant, you know, there's a significant customer base. A lot of people are also arguing that, you know, Zap is not, you know, very, very popular, but people in the crypto space might know it. Crypto is also part financial services. You know, there's proof of confusion, which I've seen, and which the CEO has, you know, alleged that, you know, a lot of people have come to him and say, oh, are you partnering with Paystack? That's proof of confusion, which is usually a ground, like when your mark is confusingly similar, right? So
I hope and pray that this app actually scales through, because it has a lot of potentials. And I also see, because of the whole drama, you know, I've had to...
Which of the apps do you hope scales through?
Oh, both of them. I don't want them to die off. I want both of them to exist. I want peace to reign. Please find a way around this. I don't know. I just want both of them to...
There's definitely ways to find ways to go around it. What I'm just expecting that is, if none of them have their certificates yet, we're going to see an objection. There's probably going to be like a case. I think the CEO of Zap Africa has made it clear that he doesn't want any, you know, court is trying to resolve amicably. So that's great. And I know that the tech space is not litigious. So it will most likely be a settlement or a meeting or something. But, you know, we just have to watch out. But I think this is really, really interesting. And you know why it is? because a few days ago, like a few days before this news came out, I was just on TikTok and I saw, like, there's this podcasters that come up on my For You page. The name of their podcast is In My Opinion. Mm-hmm. And as, you know, they were speaking, and next thing I'm hearing is, we just heard that Michelle Obama has opened a podcast and the name of the podcast is In My Opinion. And they were essentially just begging Michelle. They were begging Michelle, saying, oh, Michelle, you know, we respect you, we respect what you've done for the culture, but please leave our name alone. We've been here for 4 years. We've been doing some. They're in the UK. That's the tricky part. They're in the UK and Michelle is in the US. Oh, and yes, they're saying they have the trademark in the UK of, In My Opinion, and the short form IMO. So they're essentially just begging. They've done several videos. And I'm just like, okay, this is like, it's always going to be a theme where, like, a bigger name.
I mean, Ella, I remember when we were trying to, like, you know, put together a name for this podcast, it was a lot. We had to go and start searching on all podcast platforms.
You know, just to make sure you have a unique name.
It's so exciting. It makes me want to go, you know, and just read a bit more about IP and see what I can do in that space. Thank you so much. Really exciting news. Wow. Interesting. Yeah. Stuff. So, I mean, but before we go on, I want us to take a moment to actually just pause and talk about something that shook the ecosystem this past week.
Yeah.
And would agree with me that the passing of Adetunji, better known as TJ, co-founder and CTO of Bumper, really shook the ecosystem. And it's because he's done a lot in the space already. So, and then the circumstances around his death, it's just too...
It's really just heartbreaking, honestly. It's really just heartbreaking that someone with so much promise, still very young, just in an event that could have been avoided or could have been handled better.
That's what hurts me the most, right? Because this situation really could have been avoided. I hate that he had to die in this manner.
It's really heartbreaking. So just to give some context to people that may not be aware of the news, Adetunji Okpayele, popularly known as TJ, is the CTO of Bumper, and he's a co-founder of Bumper. And on his way back from the gym sometime in early to middle of March, he was, you know, riding his car bike in full protective gear, might I add, and was allegedly hit by a reckless driver. And he fell off the bike and he, you know, obviously it was an accident with injuries. And the most heartbreaking part of this thing is that he was left there for time without support, without people helping him get to the hospital, without the alleged perpetrator helping him get to the hospital. And eventually, when they were able to get like a ride hailing app, I wasn't sure if it was Uber or Bolt or InDrive, but they eventually got him to hospitals, and the first two hospitals rejected him because of the severity of his wounds. They weren't able to treat it. When he finally got to the third hospital, he eventually passed on because of the severity of the injuries. This is heartbreaking. This is almost news shattering, especially because it feels too close to home. This is someone that made a life for himself. He had built something that was impacting life. He didn't even live in Nigeria. Do you know that was the part that I'm just like...
When I read that part, so I was like, oh my goodness. I think he was in Canada or something.
He lived in Canada and he was here for like it, and then to just go out like this is really, really heartbreaking. It's really heartbreaking to see.
I think that I don't want us to, because there's a whole lot of things. If I was given space to talk, I would say a lot, but I don't want us to dwell on your space. I think I want to talk about what TJ built, because that's where his legacy really shines, right? So I want us to talk about what he built in terms of Bumper. And reading his story and what he has done, I can say that he was a brilliant builder. And I heard that as Bumper CTO, he helped, you know, create a platform where that literally changed how small businesses in Africa show up online. You can literally create your own online store, manage your orders, track inventory, you know, get analytics and even chat with your customers, right? So it's just a very amazing app for businesses, and it's exciting to see.
I mean, I read a news article that was sort of like a eulogy to him, and it was like a lot of people that knew him personally just coming to speak up, you know, what he stood for and what he was, you know, the wonderful things he was able to accomplish. I had no idea that he studied law.
Yes, that was interesting. I think he went to OAU.
Yes, okay. He did. And, you know, obviously he didn't complete it because that wasn't his path. And he had always been a tech head. There's people saying that people used to queue outside his house to help them with, you know, fixing their gadgets. He taught himself how to develop a mobile app during lockdown, like in 2020, during COVID. And that was what took their then product. I think it was Host Cabal. I'm not sure because Bumper had like an evolution stage, right? So he had worked on a lot of projects. And, you know, before we finally have what we have, Bumper, right? I think his first project was PayPanda, where he did it in like a competition. Yeah. Online escrow service is also for like merchandise, right? You order something, you want someone to hold the money in escrow until you're satisfied with your service. And, you know, he won some money for that. And then he also, you know, went on to build some other services. And, you know, he, as a typical entrepreneur, he was a problem solver. He had He had some issues with like the hosting service providers that were available to him. And then he created Host Cabal, which was a hosting service. And from there, you know, was developing websites for entrepreneurs. And he was looking for a way to templatize it so it could be more like more commercial. And then we find out in Bumper, where, you know, he's catering to entrepreneurs, allowing them, you know, open their storefronts and be able to sell and do everything from one place. It's awesome to see what he was able to achieve.
And, I mean, interesting stuff. And also interesting to see that in 2022, you know, Bumper scaled big in its seed round. And I read that by 2025 now, Bumper had already onboarded like 60,000 SMEs and had processed over transactions exceeding like 160 billion naira. And that's like interesting. Imagine what that mind was creating. Imagine what he and Kelvin were doing. Imagine the vision and dedication that they had together. And just seeing, I mean, wow, interesting stuff, man. I'll just leave this question to you, Ella.
Honestly, it's interesting. And what has happened is a tragedy. If you haven't signed the petition, please do. We need some accountability for, you know, what has happened. He deserves the chance to get justice for his life passing. So it was just so heartbreaking the way he passed. It's not something that we want to repeat itself in this space. And we also need justice for the people who love and care for him.
So they may be gone now, but what he built is still helping people and businesses grow. And I think that's what's celebrating, regardless of the situations or circumstances around his death. I think he kept a legacy for himself. And this has made me reflect on my life. I mean, if I go today, what are people going to remember me as? It's something that's boggling my mind. I think we should just, you know, dwell on the good things that he has done.
Yeah.
It's really
I agree. This was, you know, an insightful conversation.
All right, fam. That's it from us on this episode of Coins and Convos, episode 2. I mean, we've spoken a bit from Clever making big boss moves with the IMTO license, from Ella giving us deep insights on the IP perspective on the Zap versus Zap, really funny stuff, and also being able to honor the incredible memory of TJ and what he built, which is Bumper. So it's been a real mix of strategy and, you know, emotions here and there. It's been a win-win regardless. So thank you so much for listening in. Please endeavor to follow us on all platforms, drop a rating, share this episode with someone building something, either in the legal sector, tech, hustle, whatever. We've got more convos coming your way. So till next week, keep chasing the bag, keep building boldly. Of course, please stay plugged in. This is Coins and Convos. Catch you all next time. Thank you.
Bye.